Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. Today with me, I have Lisa. I have had the privilege of working with some of Lisa's clients over the past couple months. And so I thought it would be fun to have Lisa herself on the podcast. Lisa's also awesome. Not only does she do publicity work, but Lisa's I also so without further ado, I'm going to Miss Lisa take it away.
Hi, Wynn. It's great to be with you. I'm Lisa Warren, and I worked at a publishing house here in Boston for about 20, 25 years before I decided to hang my own shingle and become a freelance book and author publicist. So that's what I do for a living, and I am a professor at Emerson College, also here in Boston, where I teach in their graduate writing, literature, and publishing program. And on the side, I have written a couple of books on my own time, and got them published. So that's me in a nutshell.
Like you have any time, like have any time, like professors have any time. I didn't realize you were a professor. Intent. That's why we love Christmas break. For those of you that
Exactly.
don't know, I was teaching for 13 years in total before I moved to Phoenix, Arizona. So teacher after my own heart, I will always follow the teachers and follow the publicists and follow the authors, but mainly the teachers. But that's why we love Christmas break, because
Yeah.
it gives us time.
It really does re-energize one, doesn't it? I'm so glad to have just this month off in between semesters. I teach,
Let's.
lovely, right? I teach a couple of nights a week, and in, the past 2 or 3 years, one of those nights has been on campus, and one of those nights has been via Zoom for students who have various health issues that make it unsafe for them to attend school on campus because of COVID. And a few of them are international students and they weren't able to get to the US because of rules regarding COVID.
Yeah,
So I was glad to be able to have that option for myself and my own safety, but also for my students. But I do don a mask and go to an actual classroom one night a week, and feel pretty safe, although I did get COVID last semester and got right on Paxlovid and kicked it pretty quick, thank goodness. But boy, it is really nice right now with COVID rates spiking again here in New England to be safe and sound at home for a few more weeks.
Well, COVID rates, I think, are spiking everywhere, including here in Arizona. So safe and sound it shall be. But I wanted to talk to you about your publicist work and then talk to you about your own work. And what made you decide to go into publicity in the first place and then become a freelance publicist to transfer over?
Sure. I started as an English major undergraduate and always wanted to have my life involving books in some way, shape, or form. And I double minored in American literature and creative writing. And I always thought that I would be either teaching or working in publishing. And when I was in college, I went to Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. When I was in college, my parents moved up to the Boston area. And I'm an only child. I wanted to be close to them when I graduated. So I moved up to Boston with, zero job prospects. But I knew that there were at least some publishing companies in the Boston area. And I thought, well, I'll give it a try. I'll see what I can do. And I wasn't really qualified for anything at that point. So I got an unpaid internship at a very small but very prestigious literary press called David R. Godin Publisher. It's still alive and kicking here in Boston all these years later. But I started as an unpaid editorial and publicity intern. They combined the two internship positions because they were such a small company that they, didn't really have a need for more bodies in their small offices. And I found surprisingly that I liked the publicity work more than I liked the editorial work. I had always imagined that I would want to be an editor someday and that that was probably my calling, but I found that I actually got to write more as a publicist. I got to write press releases, I got to write Q&As with authors, and I get to write pitches via email all day long. And it's a very interactive job too. I find editing, which I've done a little bit of too, I find it to be a very solitary kind of life. And that didn't suit me since I'm a pretty outgoing person, but publicity, you are talking and communicating with other people all day long.
Yes,
So I
I
just
am.
fell in love with it.
Yes, you are. That's why I fell in love with my second career, which I'm still only getting a degree in, is journalism. And I fell in love with journalism. And for those of you that haven't figured out now, my main focus is in raising awareness on disabilities. And not only cerebral palsy, but all the other disabilities under the sun. And so I teaching, even though we love it, even though I love it being retired, teaching can be a very demanding job, whereas raising awareness on disabilities, it's a very interesting job. Some people get it, others do not, but most of the time they do.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And I'm glad that we both, found or fell into professions that we love.
Yeah.
And I do love teaching, but I find that the PR work, really engages me intellectually. I've been teaching the same classes for 20 some years now, and it's a little different each time. The students are different and things in the industry change. And so I do have some new things to add every semester, but it gets to be a bit redundant in a way that being a book publicist doesn't, because you have a new book and you have a new author every time, and there's new media popping up all the time. When I first started in publishing, there was no such thing as podcasts. So now that is a whole other vein of opportunity for me and my authors, and that tickles me to no end.
Exactly. There was no such thing as podcasts. There was the local news stations, and that was about it.
Yeah, you're right. That in the local newspaper. And
Now
now a lot of those don't even have book
a
review
lot
editors.
has changed. A lot has changed. Now there's YouTube, there's podcasts, there's people doing new word trained journalists, news podcasts. I mean, there's so many ways to consume media that it's not even funny.
That's very true. And it's a little tricky to keep up with it, but it's a fun challenge. And
Oh, yeah. Yes.
you had asked me as well, what made me venture out as a freelancer. And I didn't want to not acknowledge that question. It wasn't my choice entirely. I got laid off after about 25 years, which wasn't about me. It was one of those gigantic corporate
Yeah.
layoffs that happen when a big company buys another pretty good sized company, and there are all kinds of redundancies. And usually the person who had the job with the company that bought the other company gets to keep that job. And that was indeed the case. It's not to say I didn't see it coming, but you still never quite see it coming until, you're sitting there face to face with someone who's talking about your severance package. And
Yeah.
I thought for a bit that maybe I would try to go into doing publicity for a university or a college. There are many wonderful ones here in the Boston area because I also had teaching experience. I thought it might dovetail very nicely, but they were looking for people, at the level that I was at, they were looking for people who had decades of academic publicity experience behind them. And even though I had publicized many books by professors and people with PhDs and other graduate degrees, they didn't seem to believe that it would transfer over, that those skills and contacts would transfer over well. They would have. But when I found it hard to convince them, I thought, well, why am I trying so hard to convince someone else that I'm qualified? I know I'm qualified. I'm just going to hang my own shingle and start my own company. And so I launched Lissa Warren PR And that was about 4 years ago. I'm coming right up on my 4 year anniversary, and it's been wonderful. I don't know that I ever would have done it if I hadn't gotten, kind of forced to, but I'm grateful for it. It worked out well. It really did.
And it's so funny because I lost my job due to COVID, like thousands of Americans did. And then I decided to move states due to unforeseen circumstances. I lost both my parents, one in 2010 and the other one in 2009. And living in Aspen, Colorado just wasn't working for me. So I went on a hunt to find a new place to live. Well, basically Arizona found me, but basically my job followed me down to Arizona.
That's
So
wonderful.
that's why I decided not to go back into the workforce down here, because I'm like, you already have a job and it followed you down to Arizona, and pieces of it were hiding behind the scenes and still following you down to Arizona. So I'm happy as Glenn doing what I'm doing. But what is the most challenging being a PR publicist? What is the most challenging and makes you think some of the things, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to hang up
I
my hat
am
and retire.
thankfully, it's a very valid question. I am thankfully not at the I don't want to do this anymore stage of things yet, but a lot of people in this business do burn out, many of them rather quickly. I think it's because your results are so easily judged. You tally up the number, and your clients tally up the number of interviews and reviews that you get, and events at bookstores that you're able to secure for them. Your results are very visible, and there's no obscuring when you're not generating the kind of results that you want for them and that they want for themselves. And I never promise results because it's never entirely up to me. You know how it is with members of the media. You can't force them to cover anything. All you can do is try to match what you have with what you think they need for their show and their publication and make a good pitch and, cross your fingers. But at the same rate, I do like a challenge, and I do like that my results are quantifiable for myself so that I'm able to kind of know when things are going well and know when I need to sort of double down and work a little harder on stuff. So I'd say that that's the most challenging thing about the job, that, it's obvious when you're not delivering. And that's hard because, as an author myself, I know that awful feeling of not getting as much press for your book as you would like. And I don't want other authors to feel that. So I always want to knock it out of the park for them. And a lot of times I'm able to, and sometimes I'm not. And sometimes I can figure out why. Sometimes it's the book, or that whatever the topic of the book is, it's not in the zeitgeist, and nothing I can do makes people think that it is of the moment and necessary to cover. But there are also times where it's a total head scratcher when I really can't figure out why I'm not getting the kind of traction that I thought I would be able to get for the book. So it's hard when that happens, but I still love the job, even after all these years. I really do.
And what's the best part of being a publicist?
I think it's that I keep learning. And I think a lot of that is because I'm working with books and authors. I've worked on books about theoretical physics. I've worked on books about environmental laws and compliance. I've worked on glorious, gorgeous novels that are set in Paris or set on a farm in Maine or set in Iowa on a baseball field. It varies so much. It's such rich terrain every time. I don't take on books that I don't find interesting. And I also love working with almost all of the authors. I mean, there are some wonderful people out there who write books and are so appreciative of opportunities to talk about their books on air and get their books covered in newspapers and magazines and websites. And so I make friendships. I make good relationships with a lot of my clients, and I love that. I'm around interesting people all the time, and I'm just a, retail brat, granddaughter of a prison guard. Like, I don't have any fantastic pedigree in that way, but I somehow managed to find myself in a world where I'm talking with people who have PhDs and MDs and, and really interesting stuff. So I love that about it.
And what, and I hesitate to ask this question, but as you and I talked about over the phone, what is one lesson coming from a publicist that people should know before they hop on any podcast, including my own? What is one?
I always tell them, know the show. Every author, every person doing an interview, even if they're not an author, they should listen to the show. One, because it's courteous to do that, and you can be a better interview just from listening to it. But two, you need to get a feel for even just sort of the logistics, the basics. Is it going to be one continuous conversation? Are there going to be commercial breaks in between? Are they going to expect you to read from your book on air? If so, you need to have a passage picked out and you need to have a copy of the book in front of you. So listen to the show. If it's television, watch the show. If you're being interviewed by a newspaper or a magazine reporter, read a few of their articles. I mean, God bless Google, it's all a fingertip away.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. And probably, thank you for the hint. Probably I should read and watch the person who's going to be interviewing me about something on Arizona. I've done this twice. This will be my second time on Arizona PBS. Twice I've been interviewed. And so that's a great tip for me. Probably I should watch the interviewer's style so I know what to expect. And I didn't realize that you were going to say that, but it's true. Listen,
Makes a difference.
yeah, it does make a difference. Listen to whoever podcast you're going to be on, whoever you're going to be interviewed by makes a difference. So you know how they react towards people and what their body language is like if you're lucky enough to do it in person. But and that's I find that amazing that so many people go, well, I didn't have time to listen to your podcast. I'm like, sure you did. Sure you
Yep,
did not.
just a little bit, just even
Yeah,
10
just
minutes will help a
10
lot.
minutes. That's all we request is 10 minutes of ask when. You don't have to listen to the whole thing, but 10 minutes of ask when would be perfectly fine so that
Yep.
you know the gist of it. And
It's
now,
a fair ask, as they say, fair ask.
to ask. And now let's answer this question. What made you want to write books of your own?
I guess just wanting to be on the other side of it to see how it feels. I wrote my first book. It's called The Savvy Author's Guide to Book Publicity because I was getting the same questions from a lot of different authors, and I wanted to have a chance to explain the publishing and publicity process to them. I'm big into author education, but I found that my job just didn't have enough hours in the day for me to take the time to really explain to them what to expect along the journey and how to be helpful in the book publicity process. And so I wrote that book hoping that my authors and other authors out there would find it to be a good resource. And that book was actually what led me to my teaching gig at Emerson College. One of the professors there read the book and asked me if I wanted to create a course based on it. And, that was 20 years ago. The rest is history, as they say. So that one was very much related to what I do for a living, related to my publicity job. The other book I wrote, The Good Luck Cat, which is subtitled How a Cat Saved a Family and a Family Saved a Cat, is actually a memoir. It is about my family and about a purebred cat that we had, a Korat from Thailand, who at the age of 14 developed a heart condition, and we were told that she needed a human pacemaker in order to survive, because they do not make pacemakers for cats. And so that is what we did. We went to the best animal hospital in Boston and spent a lot of money that we were so thankful we had to save her, to have a pacemaker implanted. And she lived for many years after that and died at the age of 20.
That's
So
awesome.
we were so grateful that there was a hospital nearby that knew how to do this surgery. Plug for Angel Animal Medical Center in Jamaica Plain. They are amazing people and it is an amazing place. And they saved Ching Pei, our cat. And we really needed to have a win, my mom and I, because we had just lost my dad also to a heart condition, it turns out. So it was extra important to us that we save his cat. We were not able to save him, but he loved that cat. And that cat meant extra to us because she meant so much to him. So the book is a memoir of my family's journey through losing my dad and almost losing the cat, but a happy ending to be sure, thanks to some really good doctors.
And where can people find you slash find the books?
It's available on Amazon. It's available on barnesandnoble.com. And I strongly recommend that people look for it in their local independent bookstore. And if they don't have it in the bookstore, they might be able to special order it for you. And there is also a wonderful site called bookshop.org that is affiliated with independent bookstores around the country. And bookshop.org is also a place that you can get a copy of The Good Luck Cat.
Okay, bookshop.org, you guys, and you guys probably already know this. You can find my work on Amazon. My work is floating around on Amazon. And so if you just go to bookshop.org, you can probably special order it into any local bookstore that you please, or if you just want to hang out with Lisa and read her writing before you get more involved on the publicity side, that would help out too. Because once you know someone's story, you may have a more likely relationship with them through the books and through the work, other work they do.
Thank you, Wynn. And I should also put a plug in for my new website, lissawarren.com. It's LISSAWARREN. And actually, I misspoke a second ago. It's lissawarrenpr.com for public relations. So check me out there. You'll find information about both of my books there, but also information about the publicity work that I do for a living.
Publicity work. And thank you, Lisa, for coming on and sharing your story. And I hope to work with you in the future. And some of the amazing clients, I have already worked with one who was absolutely amazing. And the second one, I'm not giving the spoilers away, you guys. The second one that Lisa referred me to is going to be absolutely amazing. I'm in the middle of being a book for this one. And so that's going to be absolutely amazing. And so that's going to happen in January, you guys. So I won't give spoilers away for that one, but that one is going to be near and dear to my heart because it's disability related. That's all I'll say about that. And so I'm in the middle of reading that book right now. I found it on audio. And so we'll just wait and see how that interview turns out. But again, I thank Lisa for coming on and sharing her story. And if you guys want to go to Lisa Warner's website, you're more than welcome to. That's going to be in the show notes, I'm sure. And then we'll just carry on. Thanks, you guys. Bye, you guys.